When Peter Salove, the current president of Yale University, took the helm in 2013, it was an auspicious time for the school. Most importantly, to me anyway, the hockey team had just won the NCAA Division I National Championship, but also Robert Shiller and James Rothman had been named Nobel Prize winners, Shiller in economics and Rothman in medicine. And Charlie Johnson had very generously announced a $250 million gift that secured the construction of the two new residential colleges. Salovey's timing was good. I remember that George and I attended an event early on in the president's tenure where someone asked him how his first months were going. "I'm burgeoning," he replied, his face lit with joy. Well, when his response elicited the same kind of quizzical expression that most of you are wearing, he further explained that he'd learned, or maybe even coined, I don't quite remember, a new term. To burge, B-I-R-G-E, he said, to burge meant to bask in reflected glory. And he was burging. He was basking in the reflected glory of others' gifts and successes. You could tell that it felt pretty good, but he recognized that the glory wasn't yet his. That's kind of what's going on this morning in today's gospel account of what is called the Transfiguration. Jesus has taken Peter, James, and John up the mountain, and there he is transfigured before them. The appearance of his face changes, and his clothes become dazzling white. In front of this brilliant display of God's glory, the disciples burge. "Ooh, it's good for us to be here," Peter says. "I like this spot." But the glory is not yet his. Now, I haven't seen anyone's clothes change colors, except in that crazy blue dress, black dress meme that went around the internet. But I have seen some divinely shiny faces in my day. Faces like Jesus' face, faces like Moses' face when he came down from Mount Sinai. I love that reading from Exodus, by the way. When he came down basking in the reflected glory of his own encounter with God. I've seen faces shine most specifically at baptism. Recently, and I've shared this story a number of times because this baby blew me away, she was so shiny she made all of us in assembly squint. She really was shiny. The shine of new birth, of coming up out of that water of baptism. I've also, though, seen beautifully shiny faces on those approaching death, including a college friend, a teammate, and a fellow mother of three boys. Her face shone so much that it lit up the whole Potomac River. And I mean it, for real. Her house backed up to a path along that river, and after sitting with her and sharing some sacred last moments, I went for a run. The light on the river was as blindingly bright as any recounting of heaven I've ever read. I'll never forget it. And I know that that light was shining for her, was reflecting her glory. Right out of Charles Wesley's hymn, "Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place." Or you can think of any number of shiny faces I'm sure you've seen. A new father holding a brand new baby. A conductor at the final stroke of his baton after an orchestral masterpiece. The UCLA gymnast, Caitlin Ohashi, when she landed her perfect 10 floor routine. Or maybe your child, the first time the training wheels came off. The great second century church father Irenaeus famously wrote, "The glory of God is man fully alive." Don't you want some of that glory? Well, today's scripture tells us it can be ours. When we are fully alive, when we are as close to the person God would have us be as we can get, transfiguration happens, glory happens. St. Paul says that we are being transformed into the image of God, one degree of glory to another. How do we make this small incremental move? If you were here a couple weeks ago to hear Danny's sermon, you'd know that clicker training might help us. We could click off our steps towards glory. But I think we make this move simply by showing up to our lives, by putting our authentic selves out there, by climbing mountains after God, by seeking God's face, seeking his face in the Eucharistic host, seeking his face in the eyes of our neighbor, seeking his face in our own reflection in the mirror. Click, click, click. There's a great line in Luke's telling of this story that's worth noting. He says, "Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him." Since they had stayed awake. It's not for nothing that we hear this line just as our Christian story veers towards the crucifixion and to that heartbreaking moment when Christ's disciples will fail to stay awake for Jesus, will fall asleep when he needs them most. Staying awake, showing up for each other is transforming. Is transfiguring, to use today's vocabulary. And like Paul says, it happens one degree at a time. We get gradually shinier. And just as the glory of God is man fully alive, it is also ministry fully alive. It is the church fully alive, the earth fully alive. Here's a small example for you. As many of you know, St. Luke's offers a weekly community supper, a home-cooked meal, soup to nuts, or more accurately, salad to dessert, every Thursday during the program year in the parish hall. It's a shiny ministry, and with every new name learned, every story shared or connection made among the volunteers and the patrons of that ministry, community supper reflects God's glory more and more brightly. Pretty soon we won't need electricity in the parish hall. There is such light in that space. From the powerful bond of the Wednesday morning salad spinners, whose every chop and dice is a prayer, to chance encounters with patrons across our days and across our town, whether at CVS, Home Depot, to the care shown for one another with a friendly check-in, a patron who brought flowers for Jane, a candle on a piece of pie, and happy birthday sung to a stranger. One degree of glory at a time, a random collection of patrons and parishioners is transfigured into the glory of God, the body of Christ fully alive. When Peter sees Jesus transfigured, and Moses and Elijah there with them, heroes of his faith, his instinct is to try to freeze the moment, secure it, lock it down, build up houses, set up camp. It's such a human instinct, that desire to save time in a bottle, to keep our kids 3 or 6 or 10, to keep ourselves 20 or 40 or 60, to hang on to our mountaintop moments, to burge. But better than hanging on to these moments, though, is tucking them away inside, adding light to light, strength to strength, so that we can call upon those moments, so that we can remember them, so that we can mark them as degrees of our transfiguration to glory. Peter and James and John will have to come down off of that mountain, They will face some very hard days ahead. So did President Salive. The years since he took office haven't been easy. Luke tells us that the disciples kept silent and told no one of any of the things they had seen. I think that means that they did just what Mary did. Mary, after her most transfiguring encounter with the angel of the Lord, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She tucked them away for a rainy day. As we walk away from the blinding brilliance of Jesus' transfiguration this morning into the dusky wilderness of Lent, know that God's glory lies just below the surface, and that when we show up for Jesus, when we show up for church, for community supper, for mission, for each other, we will be strengthened to bear our cross and to share God's love. We will be transfigured. We won't need to burge, because God's glory will be ours. Amen. Amen.